We are talking about yoga for weight loss, as well as answering three email questions from three different countries and much more, all today on episode 88 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So Russ, last show you had a 2 pound weight loss. How'd you do this week?
Well, not so dramatic this week. Down just over half a pound, 0.6 pounds to be exact, down to 224.1. I'm counting every single tenth of an ounce now. And so that's not bad. Not the best, but definitely nothing to sneeze at.
Well, everything kind of averaged out because you had a really good week and now it just kind of caught up with you. But still, you know, that's a pound and a bit per week, and that is a perfect way to be losing weight.
Yeah. Let me go over my goals here before we get too much further. Eating goals, I'm going to get 9 out of 10. This week was planned and executed perfectly on the food-wise, so I am very happy about that. Exercise goals, I've actually been fighting a cold, so I'm going to say a 3 out of 10. I haven't done much in this way of exercise this week because the old chest cold is keeping me down. But overall motivation for the week, I'm going to give it a good 7 out of 10, even though I didn't get to get out and run and really lift some weights and things. That little half pound is nice to see.
Well, every little bit is progress, and this is another new low for you. You're always hitting record after record now.
That is nice to hit a new record every time I lose an ounce or two. So it's very motivating in that way. But let's get into our email and comments and see if we can find something motivating here. And our first one comes from Tina from Brooklyn.
And she wrote, "Dear Russ and Jeff, I love your show and you guys are the real thing. I am 60 years old with a small frame. At this time, I'm about 10 pounds overweight. I eat healthy and exercise, but with a moderate rather than intense attitude. When you assigned us the homework to take a photo of ourselves, I decided to do it. I took a photo of my midsection and waist, and I was absolutely mortified. While I still look great in clothes, I had never seen myself in quite this way. Looking down is different than looking at. Now, I am intensely motivated for sure. What an eye-opener. Thanks for the great assignment. It was the very push I needed."
Well, that's awesome, Tina. You know, one of my goals for sure is not just to look good in clothes, but to look good naked. You know, I see myself every day and I see, you know, very small little changes here and there, but I'm not going to see a huge difference from day to day. So it's nice, you know, take that snapshot of what are you looking like in time. And then, you know, 6 months later, maybe even shorter periods, month later, 2 months, just to see where you are and where you've come from. It's not just enough to look good in clothes. You want to look good naked. Really, that's the point, isn't it?
Well, that's true. But I think any picture that you take of yourself is motivating no matter when you take it. When you're really heavy, you might be a little bit embarrassed about yourself, but it's good motivation to get to a place where you want to be. And then when you get closer to your goal or you hit your goal and you're looking great, take pictures of yourself so you want to look at those pictures and that keeps you motivated to keep on track and keep looking that way for the rest of your life.
Yeah, pictures tell the truth. There's a person in front of me on Facebook this week and I said, yes. I said, sure, go ahead. And I went to their profile and went to look at pictures. And there were ones of her children, of her husband, of parties, Christmas. But she wasn't there, I guess. But there's no photograph on there, including her profile picture that were of her. Obviously, there's something going on there. I'm going to guess embarrassed about weight. It's a huge one always. I have multiple friends who don't post pictures of themselves. They think they're a little bit too large and they don't want to have that picture out there. So it's motivating in that way because if you can't share yourself, the pictures of yourself with other people, you need to change it.
Well, let's move on to our second email. And this one came from Vicky from France. And she wrote, "You often mention iPod applications that are helpful. How about mentioning some applications that might work on other phones that give internet access?"
Yeah, so Jeff and I do tend to go on about iPhone, iPod touch applications here on the show. So we both have iPhones now, and it's natural that we talk about what we're using, but there's some other resources out there on the internet. If you have some other phone with an internet browser, you can take advantage of that as well. So I've got a couple here I want to highlight, and the first one is Daily Burn. Now, as well as the iPhone app, they maintain a mobile website that's available from any browser, including those on your phone. It has most, if not all, the functionality to record your foods and exercise, just like the full website and the iPhone app. And the URL for that is, don't let it fool you, because it does have iPhone in it. It's dailyburn.com/iPhone. Another one here is Calorie King, and has a mobile version of their site that you can track calories on as well. It supports iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Palm, and Windows Mobile. With a mobile version of their site, you can look up the calories of your food, hopefully before you consume it, and their database looks pretty extensive, and it gives a nutritional breakdown for the foods, which was very nice. You can visit the site at calorieking.com with your mobile phone, and it'll give you the mobile version when you access it with that. Next one here is from Livestrong. Now, you've all heard me talk about Livestrong. Number one, because of the iPhone app, and two, because of the great food database that backs a site called The Daily Plate. Well, that same database is available on your mobile phone by going to livestrong.com/M for mobile, I would assume. It's not even close to as good as the app, but it does fill that purpose of finding out how many calories that you are eating. And the last one here, we mentioned Spark People quite a bit on the show. They have a lot of good tools at their website. Included in those tools is a mobile calorie and cardio tracker. It's at mobile.sparkpeople.com, and it's quite good. The search function for foods is not the best, and the fewer words you put in it to find your food, the better. The cardio tracker works well. Search for your exercise of choice, and then enter the number of minutes that you did that exercise. So there's a few. I'm going to actually put a post up on the website at fatfitradio.com where I'm going to put these on there, and I'm going to try to find a couple more for all those people who don't have iPhones out there. And that's nice, too. If you don't have access to that, if you want to find your calories or enter your cardio in and you use that site, then these will be a great resource for you.
And of course, all of those links will be in the show notes at fattofitradio.com. We're going to move on to item number three, and this came in from Nancy, and she says she's a Canadian living in Texas right now. Now, this is a fairly long email, so we're just going to jump down to where the questions actually start.
Yep, sure. Right here, things got complicated after two kids and two C-sections and age. I never struggled with my weight ever before. I have never been overweight, and I am still not overweight. I am now struggling with a higher fat percentage and muscle loss. The challenge that presents is, do I eat to gain muscle, or do I eat to lose fat percentage? I have consulted many trainers, and I have been led down the wrong path. After about 4 months of aerobic zone cardio, I have yet a higher body fat percentage. I love to work out, always have. My goal is to get back to lean and toned. About 3 months ago, I decided to get back to weights and eat where I want to be. Only where I am and where I want to be is a difference of only 60 calories, just 10 pounds. Is this the way to go? Do a slight decrease and continue the weights. I weigh 134 pounds and body fat was 31%. It just dropped to 26.9%, but my weight is the same. Not worried about the scale, only inches and fat percentage, she writes. Am I on the right track? I've been surprised to learn that I did not get the advice I get from you guys from the four trainers that I talked and consulted with. I think my main challenge is calories. I tend not to eat enough. That was another mistake that I made, and I think it was the reason my fat percentage went up. Earlier last year, I was working out 7 days, sometimes twice a day, and only eating 1,300 to 1,500 calories.
All right, now there's a lot in this email, and I'm going to take this one point by point. First of all, you asked, do you eat to gain muscle or do you eat to lose body fat percentage? The simple answer is that it's very hard to gain muscle while losing fat at the same time. Your ultimate goal is to keep the muscle that you have while losing fat. Don't worry about gaining muscle, just worry about not losing any. It is possible to gain muscle at the same time that you're losing fat, but you have to be only moderately restricting your calories. You will never gain any muscle on a very low-calorie diet, no matter how hard you work, and for that matter, you can still lose muscle while doing resistance training if you're eating too little. In your case, you are on the perfect track right now. In the past, you were eating too little and exercising too much and lost weight, but your body fat percentage went up because of it. Now you are doing a much better approach by only eating a little bit less and including resistance training. You said that you have lost body fat percentage recently, but your weight has stayed the same. It's not about how much you weigh. It's all about your body fat percentage and how you look and fit in your clothing. You're only eating slightly below your maintenance calories right now and lifting weights. I wouldn't even worry about the scale at this point. In your case, tracking your body fat percentage is much more important. But of course, don't be totally afraid of doing cardio training. Just don't make it 100% of your efforts. The last point that I want to address is about the four trainers who gave you different advice from us. I have worked as a personal trainer, and 16 or 17 years ago, I was charging $70 an hour. That is more than a dollar a minute. If you forked out $300 a month of personal training to get them once a week for an hour, People expect to see very quick results. They want to see Biggest Loser results. Nobody cares about how they're going to look in 1 or 2 or 5 years from now. The reality is most people really don't care about keeping their weight off in the future. They only care about how they're going to look in 30 or 60 days. You are actually doing exactly what most personal trainers would want you to do. Eat 1,300 calories a day and exercise 7 days a week. Everyone will see quick results at the start, at least on the scale, and will stick with that trainer just a little bit longer as they're getting good results. The reality is that most people don't have a very long relationship with a personal trainer, and cost is really the true factor. They use them to get started and ask for a workout and nutrition plan to follow, and then they go off on their own. If you are getting very fast results with your trainer, you will stay with them longer. It is as simple as that. All of the trainers know that for long-term success, you need to lose fat slowly and do a lifestyle change. And here is the sad truth about our message. Thousands of our listeners will lose weight gradually and keep it off for many years, or maybe even the rest of their lives, by simply eating and exercising like the thinner person they want to become. But if I was personally trying to work as a personal trainer right now, and with this message, I would starve to death. What makes our message work is listeners like you who try our approach and who a year or two later tell us that it's working.
Hey, Jeff, we've received emails in the past that have said, hey, I tried your methods and I'm not losing weight really fast. You know, I want to be ready for that, my wedding in 2 months, or I want to be losing dress size in 1 week. I always tell them when I reply back, you know, this is not for you. If you're looking for a quick fix, Fat to Fit Radio is not the thing to listen to. And usually when, you know, I kind of explain where we're coming from, then they kind of get it and maybe they don't listen anymore, you know, whatever that is. But they do seem to understand, you know, we're not about next week's prom. We're about long-term weight loss.
Well, you said for people who are trying to get ready for that wedding next month, we are getting people ready for all of the weddings for the rest of their life. They're not going to be dieting for every single wedding that comes up. And that's really the big difference. We don't have the pressure for people to be losing weight quickly because they're not paying us weekly for these results. They're listening for this for results for the rest of their life.
All right. I want to thank Tina and Vicky and Nancy for all their emails. If you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right. Well, we are going to skip the web report this week because we've got an interesting interview for our feature section.
That's right. This week, we are talking to a yoga instructor who's been teaching for more than 20 years and is currently teaching out of a 24-hour fitness gym in Huntington Beach, California.
So on the phone is Lisa Brooks. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
So Lisa, first off, the easy question here. What exactly is yoga?
Yoga is a philosophy, actually. It's not, some people, I've had people come up to me and say, I'm a Christian, is it okay if I do yoga? And the answer is yes, because it's a philosophy, it's not a religion or a cult, it's a few thousand years old, and it's just a practice, it's a way of life.
All right, so what are the origins? Where did it originate from?
Well, most people think it's India, but it actually was happening, you know, more globally than just that place. But I'd say that's the main area where it all got started.
All right, so the name itself, yoga, where does that come from?
That's a Sanskrit term, and it means union. So it's the union of your body and your mind and your spirit or soul.
Oh, so far you haven't mentioned it's an exercise, it's something physical. Really, it's been
right.
So what? Where did we get this idea about, you know, going to yoga class?
Right, the physical part. Well, there's actually within the philosophy, there's eight. They call them limbs. It's called the Ashtanga, and so there's eight sort of stages or limbs of yoga, and the third one is called asana, and that's the one that we focus on here in America, which is all about the postures and the physicality of it. But it's more than that. But, you know, here in America, we just focus on the physical stuff, which is great, but there's more to it than that.
So I'm just wondering, did you know any of this before you got into yoga, or did you just go for the exercise and then discover this along the way?
For me, I didn't even know what it was. I was like 10 or something. And there was some lady on TV, and she was doing this cool stuff, and I wanted to do it with her, and so I did. And then I later on found out that it was yoga. So for me, it didn't start as, oh, I want to do this exercise thing. It was just, that's really cool, and I like it. And then when I got older, and I started taking yoga when I joined a gym. So that was when the exercise piece came in. But then I thought, oh, yeah, this is what I remember I was doing when I was little.
Right,
but it's got tons of physical benefits. There, you know, you're going to improve your strength. You're going to improve your flexibility. It's good for all the systems in the body. You're going to increase your lung capacity, and you get stronger respiratory musculature. You're cleansing the cells with all the deep breathing that you do. It's not just, you know, long, lean muscles. It's everything inside as well. And then on top of that, you handle stress better in your life. You just are in a better mood generally. It's good for your blood pressure and your immune system. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So tons of benefits.
So can anybody do yoga? I mean, just getting started, say, okay, I want to get into it. I want to go to a class. Do you have to have a certain level of fitness to do it, or can pretty much anybody get started?
Pretty much anybody could get started, but there are classes that wouldn't be suited for someone who's just getting started. So then that's where you talk to the instructor and you tell them what your situation is, and they'll say, do what you can do. If they're a good yoga instructor, they'll kind of keep an eye on you and make sure that you're not overdoing it just because the people next to you can do more. So it's really all about the person. And for me, I don't ever teach like this is an advanced yoga class, although I think that's great. But I have people that just started today in the same room with people who've been doing it longer than I have. And if everybody just goes to the place where their body will let them go without any force or any pain or anything like that, then everybody's going to get a benefit. Because the benefit doesn't come from how far you can go in the pose. The benefit comes from lining up your body the right way and then letting your body go as deep as it wants to go.
Now, most of our listeners are concerned about losing weight. So what are your opinions about yoga for exercise in weight loss?
It works. It will definitely work. I had somebody who took my class who only did yoga, and she lost 60 pounds. And I'm sure that she, you know, was conscious of what she was eating and things like that also. But that was her one and only form of exercise because she liked it. And there's one position that's called shoulder stand that is specifically good for stimulating the metabolism. But yoga in general, it's not aerobic unless you take, there are some classes that are called power yoga where it really is kind of aerobic. And that's like the Americanized version of yoga that's not true to what yoga is about, but it works. But in a traditional yoga class, you'll sweat, but not because you're running through the poses so quickly. It's not aerobic. You sit there and you hold the pose and then you go deeper if you can and you take time. So you do get benefit. It's just not, and it'll make you sweat, but it's not going to raise your heart rate.
Is there a strength component, though? I took one yoga class once in my life, probably 25 years ago, and I remember some of the poses, I remember shaking a little bit. Maybe that's just because I wasn't doing the right posture and I was, you know, putting too much pressure on something. But
no,
is that
probably not, because that's the cool thing about yoga. You improve your flexibility, but you also improve your strength, because one of the things that yoga does is it helps you to be able to hold your own body weight. Because some of the positions, yeah, they're all about stretch, but some of them, like Warrior Two, which is like a lunge position, so the leg that's bent, your quads are on fire because you're just holding that pose, and you can feel the next day or the day after like you worked out with weights because you used your body as the weight.
So you mentioned a couple of these poses, Warrior Two and was it shoulder stand?
Uh-huh.
Now, where did these names come from? Were they created kind of over the years, and just kind of what people reminded them, the people that were doing them, of how they felt at the time?
Well, I think most of them are named after creatures, like, you know, the tree, and then there's, you know, cat and downward facing dog. And so they are, it's like, I remember somebody told me they were like in their house and they saw their dog doing the down dog, because that pose came from what it looks like when a dog stretches. And the same thing with the tree, and then there's the dolphin, and there's a pigeon, and eagle, there's tons of stuff. And then some of the poses are just called extended leg, but most of them are named after creatures.
So if I wanted to get started in, at a yoga class, what are some of the questions I should ask a yoga instructor before I start?
Okay. I don't really think that there's anything that the yoga student needs to ask the yoga instructor, but I do think that it's a good idea for the person to let the instructor know that they're new. And then that way the instructor can sort of keep an eye on them.
I guess just how you were alluding to other styles of yoga, one that's more American, is there one that's better than the other? Or how would you know what you're getting into?
I don't think that there's one that's better than the other, except because this is what I always say. I'm sure you guys tell people this all the time, too, is that because I don't just teach yoga. I teach strength training and step and other kind of cardio classes. And so people will often ask me, what's the best kind of exercise to do? And my answer is always the same. It's the one you like. So especially now in January, where I'm getting a lot of new people coming in to the gym because they're trying stuff out, you know, I will always say to them, you know, there's as many different styles of yoga as there are instructors. So if my style doesn't suit you, don't give up on yoga. You'll find one that does, because there'll be one that resonates with you. And then you just do that one because it's fun, and it's supposed to be fun.
So when I go to that first class, is there any special equipment I need to take with me?
No, it is good to have a yoga mat, though, and you can get them anywhere now. Target, TJ Maxx, they're just everywhere, and as little as, you know, $8.99 or $12.99. You can get them for $30, too. But the yoga mat's the biggest deal because you want to be able to stick to it and not be sliding around on the floor since you are bare feet when you do what you're doing. But as far as like the blocks and the straps and the all those other things, so not necessary. That's just my opinion. They can be advantageous, but you don't need to buy a $15 block. You can use a shoebox. You can use a book. And you don't need to buy a strap. You can use a belt or even a towel or one of your socks. So the equipment part, I think that's just the commercialization of yoga. but the mat is a good thing to have.
Well, that's good to know. And this is, you know, the start of 2010. So you must have a lot of new people, a lot of overweight people are coming into yoga. Are there any distinct differences or challenges for people who are overweight?
Well, let's see. The one position, that shoulder stand that we were talking about earlier, because that's where you are standing on your shoulders and your legs are up in the air. So oftentimes, if somebody's actually obese, not such a good idea, and they probably wouldn't be able to get there anyway because of their body weight. But like I said before, you just do what you can do with the body that you have, and before you know it, you're able to do more, and your body will let you do more, and your body will change as a result of what you're doing.
And just from our discussion here on yoga, I really don't see any downsides to it. You don't need to be in great physical shape to do it. You don't have to have really high cardiovascular fitness, and anyone can start up without any trouble.
Yep, and it's so true. And the cool part about yoga is it just keeps getting better. When I first started teaching yoga, people would say, oh, you're so flexible because you're so young. And then as I continued teaching, I reached a point where they stopped saying that because I'm not so young. But I'm much more flexible now than I was when I was 20. I'm much more flexible now than I've ever been. And it's because I practice yoga. It has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with anything other than continuing with a good habit. So good or bad, your habits are going to catch up to you. And if you practice the good ones, then you'll see the results.
So I think we can't let you go, Lisa, unless we ask the all-important question. Now, we've all seen funny videos on the internet about people having passing gas in yoga class. Now, is that a common thing? And what is the correct response when that happens in class?
Okay. Well, yes, it's common. Probably more common than you would think. And it's not, it's just natural. I had a massage therapist tell me one time that she could really tell that a person was relaxed if their stomach started growling or if they passed gas. And so it just could be a sign that they're really relaxed into what they're doing, which is a good thing. But my personal way of responding to it is just to keep on talking and not acknowledge it, because I don't want to embarrass the person. But there was a time, and it was last night, that I was teaching a yoga class, and I was talking, and I was telling I was complimenting a couple of people on the way that they were doing the pose. And so as I was saying what I was saying, right in the middle of what I said, out came the noise. And right after the noise came, I said, wow. And I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the pose. And so then after it registered the timing of what happened with the noise and then what I said, I really had a hard time not laughing. I had to pull it in, and a couple other people were laughing, which makes it more difficult for me to keep a straight face, but I do the best I can not to. But now, you know, I've been teaching yoga for, I don't know, close to 20 years now, so it doesn't faze me, but last night it almost did. Good timing on your question with that one.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for coming on the show and talking all about it. Really appreciate all your great information.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Russ, I think that was an interesting interview. Maybe I'm going to give this a shot again.
You know, the only time I've ever done yoga, it was bizarre because I was in high school, our trainer, and her name was Ruth, and she was a ball buster. And she would, she was the one that wrapped your ankles, and she had it in her mind one time that she was going to have our whole football team do yoga. So all these guys, basically, I think we had, you know, half of our bottom, our uniforms on, our practice uniforms and just t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And we're all sitting in this gym on mats. And we all, a bunch of big, burly guys in high school, all doing yoga. That was my only experience doing that.
Well, I think certain things like yoga, you have to be in the right place and the right time to be able to accept what it is and enjoy it and get things out of it. I'm not sure that the average high school kid is going to get much out of yoga and really be ready for it.
No, we're talking about passing gas, and that was a toxic room, my friend. That was a toxic room. But I may try it as well again in the future, too, if I ever get the chance.
All right, let's move on to the recipe of the week. What do you have for us today?
Well, we got an email from Eliana, and she shared a recipe with us, and she wrote here in her email, "When I was growing up, my grandmother frequently made stuffed green peppers with lots of Italian-type flavors. My fiancé hates cooked green peppers, so I tried to re-engineer her old recipe and ended up with something completely different. And she sent us a recipe that she created over on Spark Recipes, and it's for Asian cabbage rolls. And my mother also made, for me when I was a kid, stuffed green peppers, but my children would not even touch those. So I'm not sure they would touch a cabbage roll either, but this looked really cool. And it looks like got some great ingredients and calories here per serving, about 400. So pair this with a nice salad and a vegetable, and you've got a great meal. So check out Eliana's recipe.
And it's nice to see a recipe that isn't just Mexican, Russ. You always have Mexican recipes.
I know. Well, you know, it's part of my heritage, and I always said I've never met a burrito I didn't like. So it is good to get something different in here. All right, Jeff. So what is our homework for the week?
Well, the homework this week relates to homework that I assigned 6 months ago. And if you did the homework 6 months ago, it will be very rewarding to do it again to see your progress. And this is what I assigned 6 months ago. I said to start tracking your fitness level. Most people will keep track of their weight, but also start tracking how you feel. It doesn't matter how you track it, just find something that you can repeat every month or so. You don't need to do this at a gym. For example, you could see how many flights of stairs you can climb in a building in 1 or 2 minutes, or how far you can run in 1 or 2 minutes. It doesn't have to be exact. You could even count the number of streetlights that you passed by in 1 or 2 minutes. It is best to have something that you can quantify and measure so that you can clearly see your results over time. Hopefully, this will be one more way that you can use this to motivate yourself. So that's the homework, and if you didn't do this 6 months ago, do it now so you can compare yourself to the future.
All right, very cool. And Jeff, what is our motivational quote for this week?
Well, the quote this week comes from Dennis Waitley, and he wrote, "There are two primary choices in life, to accept conditions as they exist or to accept the responsibility for changing them."
All right, very good. Well, thank everyone for participating in the show, for sending those great emails, and for our recipe this week. Thank you very much. We need more of those, so please send them over. podcast@fattofitradio.com. We'd love to have those. Otherwise, check out all the show notes over at fattofitradio.com. Look for show number 88, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.